Since its inception in 1984, the focus of the Jack Shaiman Gallery has been to exhibit, represent, and champion artists from around the world. In particular, artists from Africa, East Asia, and North America. Founded by Jack Shaiman and Claude Simard in Washington, D.C., the gallery relocated to New York City, occupying a space in the East Village, before moving to Soho and then to its current location in Chelsea in 1997. In 2013, the gallery added two additional exhibition spaces, one in Chelsea and the other, a schoolhouse in Kinderhook, New York. The former Martin Van Buren Elementary School has been redesigned to include a 5,000-foot exhibition space with 24-foot ceilings, accompanied by traditional gallery spaces on the second floor that have been transformed from existing classrooms. The property sits on 5 acres of land that provide a temporary home for outdoor sculptural and site-specific installations. Its inaugural exhibition in 2014 was work by Nick Cave. A change of place, 4 solo exhibitions will mark the space's second anniversary when it opens this Sunday. Thank you very much for being with us, Jack.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And we are also joined by Collections Manager Rachel Fainter. Rachel, thank you very much for being with us. All right. So, Jack Shaiman, what have you gotten yourself into here?
Oh, my God. More than I ever imagined. But luckily, we're really having a good time doing it.
So at what point do you think, all right, well, we're very comfortable in the city. This is very nice. But we do, well, let's share the wealth and go north.
Well, it all started, I have a farm in Stuyvesant, New York, the bordering town. And I always, in the last 10 or 15 years, wanted kind of a bunker for storage and a room to be able to display very big artworks. You know, often for museums and different things, you need a space that can accommodate that. And so it started out that kind of thing. And then, you know, driving by one day, the Martin Van Buren School is for sale. There's a for sale sign on it. And I just, you know, it's such a beautiful spot in Kinderhook. And I said to my partner, Carlos Vega, well, at least we have to just go look to see what it's like.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of the end.
So then in seeing what it was like, the idea of being able to exhibit this larger artwork would just seem, without knowing the building, I would think a school would lend itself almost perfectly to that.
Yes, in a lot of ways, the building was perfect. And we were so fortunate. A dear friend, but also a very accomplished architect, Antonio Torresillas, worked with us and designed the building. And it had such a beautiful structure. The bones of the building were so beautiful and laid out in a palladium style that Antonio enhanced all of that. And he dug out the gymnasium, so we ended up with 24-foot ceilings, which was the dream. And, you know, we went a lot further than we ever went. We talk about how we went in happily naive because we ended up with geothermal and the whole nine yards. That's a whole other story.
So when I say schoolhouse, I that's probably a misnomer. I mean, it's a school building. This is a big 30,000 square feet. I mean, this is a big building.
It's huge. It's actually the largest building in Kinderhook. And I think it's funny because when you say school, people have in their mind that it's a little one-room schoolhouse. And actually, it's, you know, it was built in 1929 or started in 1929. It's a Federal Revival style and finished in 1931 and inaugurated by FDR, which is one of our claims to fame. But what's so interesting, and we've realized that that building has been functioning as a place for education for now 85 years. And what I'm so proud to be in this position, you know, to be able to now have this exhibition space. It's free to the public. Anybody can come and see our shows. And, you know, to be able to do this, it's a kind of a life dream for me.
So we mentioned the first show. So what do you look to fill it and to be able to, I love that you used the word bunker earlier too. That is like a great term. So you're able to incorporate that as well.
Yes, we have quite a bit of storage here. And, but on top of that, we have a, you know, it's a lot of exhibition space. So, you know, the programming of it and the figuring out the shows, it happens way in advance. So last summer, I was so fortunate. We presented an exhibition of Elan Atsui, an artist that I represent who's from Nigeria, but we presented 5 decades of his work, which is something I'd never be able to do in New York in that space. And, you know, it was for me a high point of my career to be able to put that together and exhibit it. And we were getting on Saturdays sometimes 500-600 people on a Saturday in Kinderhook, which is kind of mind-boggling.
And these are they were, I was looking at pictures last night, but these are like large installations.
Yes.
Within the, I don't know quite how to describe, because I don't know what the composition is of the various work, but it is, it's enormous.
Yes, a lot of them are.
Just kind of, and walk around, right?
He's really now considered a master within the art world, a contemporary master. The materials that he uses are all metal from alcohol products produced in Africa. So he collects all of those, he cleans them, he washes, he organizes them, and he makes them into these amazing pieces that are both sculptural. They're wall hangings primarily.
Yeah.
And, you know, he received the Golden Lion in Venice at the Venice Biennale, which was such a huge honor. And it happened while I was installing the show in Kinderhook. And I'm like, wow. But, you know, to have his exhibition and to be able to put 5 decades together. And I'm very pleased to say it went to Carriage Works, a museum in Melbourne, Australia. So we were really pleased about that.
So let us talk about the current exhibition, which will open on Sunday. And this is 4 solo exhibits and exhibitions. So I will ask you about it and how it came to be, and then we'll talk to Rachel about what we'll see.
Well, we're opening Sunday from 12 to 6. It is free to the public, and we'd love people to come. There will be refreshments and food, but we're opening 4 solo exhibitions. The title of the exhibitions is A Change of Place, and it incorporates Richard Moss, who's an Irish artist that lives in New York, his Infra series, which was done in the Republic of Congo with infrared film, Haif Karaman, who's a 35-year-old artist born in Iraq but now living in L.A. She left Iraq on her 12th birthday, and these are incredible paintings about her life, her childhood. She's an amazing artist. Pierre Dorion, who I've been working with since the very beginning of the gallery, and he has created this amazing body of work that relates to the unfinished classrooms and the architecture of the school. And they'll be in situ in the rooms that they're the subject of. And Garnet Pewitt, who is a really interesting artist that I had to chase down and convince to do this exhibition, because he has been for the last 20 years a full-time organic bee farmer, 4th generation in Hawaii, and his work actually incorporates bees. He collaborates with bees to make these sculptures, and we'll have in the lobby we'll have 5 works of his, but upstairs we'll have 2 works that are actually living works that maybe Rachel can tell us more about.
Yeah, well, he went to Pratt for his MFA, and during that time became interested more in the beeswax that he was working with. So he was working in bronze at the time and steel. So he fused the two interests of beekeeping and sculpture. And so he builds these steel armatures that he coats in beeswax, adds something sweet, I don't know what it is, but something sweet to entice them to build a hive there, plants a queen, and then the bees do the work. They add the honeycombs, which take on an unpredictable shape that he accepts, but then decides when it's finished, then it's closed up, cleaned out, and it becomes a sculpture.
So it really is then, so we will see works that have both been closed up and then works that are in progress by the bees.
Exactly.
And living.
Yeah.
Very much living and moving. And It's going to be cool for the bees to be in an exhibit, right?
That's kind of neat. This morning they're very happy, so we're
A cool gig for a bee,
glad.
I would think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's some interesting relationships between each of the artists that I think when viewers come to see the show, you know, I don't want to give it all away, but there's a lot of interesting connections for each artist, I do believe.
And again, without giving that away, but that has to do with I assume in the environment, right? And
correct.
As well as transformation and
transformation. Haves' paintings are amazing when you think about it, it's the subject of war, really, and what happens after war. It's an interesting mix of people, and we've set up a small. I don't want to call it an exhibition, but an homage to Malik Sidibe, one of our senior artists who unfortunately just passed away at 83. And he is from Mali, from West Africa. And we have sort of a small homage to Malik, who we miss already a lot, but made an amazing contribution to the world.
Rachel, tell us a little bit about how all this comes together in your work, in because you work for all the places, right? Or are you primarily at the school?
I did. I came from the Chelsea locations mm-hmm. and relocated up to the school about 8 months ago.
Okay.
So I'm still very closely connected to everything that's going on in the city, but now I'm full-time up at the school.
And it's is there a permanent collection, too, or is it always changing?
There is, but it's not always on view. It's changed out sometimes per show, depending mm-hmm. upon what we're doing for each show.
And with that, you're able to really show the new artists or different artists and then sort of keep what you have.
Well, the school gives us so much flexibility. I work with a lot of artists that work on a very large scale. And, you know, sometimes they want to do experimental work, installation work. So the school allows us so much flexibility with that. And in fact, the first show that we opened with Nick Cave, he will have an exhibition at Mass MoCA in October in the big space at Mass MoCA, the killer space. And he's making this immersive environment. It's going to be really amazing.
When you look at how this all fits into your work, and I'm especially interested in this global perspective of looking at artists around the world, of how you find them and understand that what they're doing and how that can come here to tell a larger story.
Yes. Oh, my. That's quite a question.
I know. It's a big one.
Well, it's about a curiosity. It's about always looking, being open. But Claude, my partner in the gallery, and I always really enjoyed bringing things into the arena of New York that maybe hadn't been considered, but we thought merited to be considered. And so we always really like that. In the late 80s and early 90s, we brought a lot of mid-career European artists that had never shown before in New York. And little by little, you know, your eye changes, things go elsewhere. And we started to find interest in other places. And it was unusual in the art world for that. So, you know, I feel very proud that I've been able to make a place and help those artists get a place within that.
A change of place will be showing for how long?
It will be up until October.
Okay, so we have the summer to come check it out.
Saturdays, 11 to 5.
Excellent. So it all 11 to 5. So it all opens on Sunday, and it's the second anniversary. So congratulations on that. You can find out more information about the exhibit as well as the gallery. We have all of the links posted on our website, along with this very interview at wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. Jack and Rachel, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you both here. Have a wonderful weekend and a great season.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for sharing. Again, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.